You know, he armed Iraq. I wondered about that, too. You know, during the Persian Gulf War, those intelligence reports would come out. Iraq, incredible weapons. Incredible weapons. How do you know that? Well, we looked at the receipt. But as soon as that check clears, we're going in. What time's the bank open? 8? We're going in at 9. I'm so sick of arming the world and then sending troops over to destroy the fucking arms. You know what I mean? We keep arming these little countries, then we go and blow the shit out of them. We're like the bullies of the world, you know? We're like Jack Palance in the movie Shane, throwing the pistol at the sheep herder's feet. Pick it up. I don't want to pick it up, mister. You'll shoot me. Pick up the gun. Mister, I don't want no trouble, huh? I just came downtown here to get some Hard Rock candy for my kids. Some gingham for my wife. I don't even know what gingham is, but she goes through about 10 rolls a week of that stuff. I ain't looking for no trouble, mister. Pick up the gun.
You all saw him. He had a gun.
Gotta love Bill Hicks. Good morning. Welcome to the Bikecast. Today, I was going to expand on some concepts, specifically self-defense and the importance for the warfare state of the application of self-defense to abstract concepts. I'm still not totally sure how this happens myself, so this is one of those things where, as I go through, I'm hoping that something occurs to me. If it does, I will share it with you. If not, and something occurs to you, maybe you can share it with me by visiting jaddavis.com, leaving a question or comment. Self-defense is something that most people feel like they have a right to. Now, some of them may not exercise it. I guess a radical pacifist might allow him or herself to be killed rather than harm someone else in defense. But if they were to do otherwise, we have an intuitive feeling that they would be in the right. Self-defense goes hand in hand with, well, for lack of a better term, self-ownership, which has always been a strange concept to me. But self-ownership in the sense that no one else owns you, no one else has the right to dispose of your physical being without your permission. In the clip, in the Bill Hicks clip, it's the classic Jack Palance scene, I can't remember what the movie is, where the expert evil gunslinger guy tricks, bullies a peaceful non-gunslinger guy into reaching for a gun. And then when he touches the gun, the Jack Palance gunslinger guy guns him down, claiming self-defense. And again, we get at an intuitive level that that is a misuse of the claim of self-defense and it is, in fact, an act of aggression. But at least it is an individual claiming self-defense, something an individual can actually engage in, an activity that can be carried out by a person. Things get far stranger when groups of Jack Palance gunslingers roaming the earth call themselves the United States Army or the Israeli Defense Force or whatever it may be, where they will stroll into villages, murder a bunch of peasants, stick guns in their hands, and call it self-defense. Or on a strategic level, on a grander level, the entire operation of having armed gangs of professional gunmen 8,000 miles from their homes, wandering into villages, murdering peasants, and claiming that the entire thing is the exercise of the United States' right to self-defense. Or in the case of Israel this week, storming onto a ship filled with food and medicine and international aid workers, pushing them around until one of them pushes back or grabs a bat or does whatever, and then shooting 9 of them down and calling that self-defense and calling the entire operation an exercise in Israel's right to self-defense. And while the fictional Jack Palance movie scenario is morally unambiguous and allows most of us moral clarity, the other scenarios I mentioned cloud moral clarity and lead to possibly endless pragmatic debates about the necessity of this or that tactic or this or that strategy. The Jack Palance character in the movie didn't have a very effective State Department or an intelligence wing or some other way that Jack Palance could say, well, not only was I protecting myself from this dangerous killer, but I was also protecting all of us, the residents of this town. And for this service, I will happily accept X amount of money from each of you. And if you prefer not to have the service, then you have become a danger to us, and I will have to turn my protective services against you. Let's say this hypothetical branch off the original story actually did take place. Watching the movie, it's entirely transparent, of course, because as the viewer, you are not part of the we, the us, that Jack Palance is claiming to defend. If you'll indulge me, let's think about what this scenario, if it was actually real, would look like for a villager in the town where Jack Palance shot down the shepherd. Well, first of all, there is the story. And if Jack Palance owned the newspaper or had undue influence over it, the story would read, Shepherd boy or violent sociopath picks up gun, attempts to go on a shooting spree. And the story would go on to detail how the appointed protector of the town had, as is his duty, defended the people against the crazed madman. And at this point, the story could go any number of ways. Do the townspeople all self-identify as being a part of the group that Jack Palance was protecting, in which case they will heap thanks upon the gunmen and make his stay as comfortable as possible? Are there those that will oppose the Palance regime based either on morality, if they catch wind of the actual tale of the so-called gunfight, or self-interest, if they don't feel like the protection provided is worth the amount of money they're forced to pay? But let's leave it there for the moment and return to why most of us can achieve moral clarity about the Jack Palance story, even my clever twist on it, but we cannot achieve the same clarity about the actions of the United States or Israel. Part of the answer is given away in the manner in which I phrased the question. The United States and Israel didn't really actually take any action. They can't. They're just concepts. But the United States or Israel engaging in a defensive preemptive strike, it boggles the mind, but is much harder to judge than saying a helicopter full of heavily armed men descended into a village and shot everybody. Because a natural tendency in our brain has been exploited, the tendency to conceptualize and to cooperate socially. So when we're told again and again and again that the United States is us, then slowly over time, we come to feel responsible for the actions taken by individuals claiming to operate for the benefit of the United States. And even because the United States enables Israel to carry on its brutal oppression of the Palestinians, we feel implicated in that choice as well. It sounds simplistic. It sounds too ridiculous to be an actual factor in the way we think about things. And yet, as I mentioned yesterday, you can see it everywhere. It is a constant message throughout all discussions of the murders of foreigners and strangers overseas by all manner of U.S. operations. The constant message is that these are our actions, that we are protecting important aspects of ourselves. It's the combination of the intuition that self-defense is just. It's part of the basic moral code of humankind that everyone has the right to protect themselves, crossed with the nonsensical abstractions that allow actions to be taken by individuals and blamed on a third party, essentially, or at least the action can be claimed to be taken on behalf of a concept, a group that both the actor and the third party are supposed to be a part of, which is simply, again, simply bizarre once you catch glimpse of it. And once you see it, you won't be able to not see it anymore. It'll still, as I do, as you probably have noticed, slip in and out of the collectivist language. I'm sure I've referred to our army or our intelligence agencies. I try to think about things like that as I talk, but it's deeply, deeply ingrained. A lifetime spent with this message repeated again and again. One more thing that is tangentially connected to this, and that is a strange fact that we are not allowed to protect ourselves from ourselves. So, for the most part, you do have the right to defend yourself. But what happens if that right to defend yourself comes up against the group's right to defend itself, as was the case when member of the Israeli Knesset was on board the ship that the Israeli naval commando stormed. The right of the abstract entity to defend itself trumps the individual right, even if that individual is supposedly part of the abstract entity that's defending itself. So just a little mind bender there at the end. If you have any questions or comments or thoughts on the subject or places where I've gone wrong, please let me know. Stop by jaddavis.com, jaddavis.com, and leave your questions or comments. Thanks.